Thinking about all this, Lina waited in the line of people at Lizzie's station. When she got to the front, she leaned forward with her elbows on the counter and whispered,
"Lizzie, can you meet me after you're through with work? I'll wait for you right outside the door."
Lizzie nodded eagerly. At 4 o'clock, Lizzie came trotting out the office door. Lina said to her,
"Will you come home with me for a minute? I want to show you something."
"Sure,"
said Lizzie, and as they walked, Lizzie talked.
"Oh, my wrist is killing me from writing all day," she said. "You have to write in the tiniest letters to save paper, so I get a terrible cramp in my wrist and my fingers, and people are so rude. Today they were worse than ever. I said to some guy, 'You can't have 15 cans of corn. You can only have 3. And he said, "Look, don't tell me that. I saw plenty of cans in the Pot Street Market just yesterday." And I said, "Well, that's why there aren't so many left today." And he said, "Don't be smart with me, Carrot Head. But what am I supposed to do? I can't make cans of corn out of thin air."
They passed through Harkin Square, around the gathering hall, and down Roving Street, where 3 of the floodlights were out, making a cave of shadow.
"Lizzie,"
said Lina, interrupting the flow of talk,
"is it true about light bulbs?"
"Is what true?"
"That there aren't very many left."
Lizzie shrugged.
"I don't know. They hardly ever let us go downstairs into the storerooms. All we see are the reports that the carriers turn in. How many forks in room 1146? How many doorknobs in 3291? How many children's shoes in 2249?
"But when you see the report for the light bulb rooms, what does it say?"
"I never get to see that one," said Lizzie. "That one and a few other ones like the vitamin report, only a few people can see."
"Who?"
"Oh, the mayor and, of course, old Flab Face."
Lina looked at her questioningly.
"You know, Farlow Batten, the head of the storerooms. He is so mean, Lina. You would just hate him. He counts us late if we come in even 2 minutes after 8, and he looks over our shoulders as we're writing, which is awful because he has bad breath. And he runs his finger over what we've written and says, 'This word is illegible. That word is illegible. These numbers are illegible.' It's his favorite word, illegible."
When they came to Lina's street, Lina ducked her head in the door of the yarn shop and said hello to Granny, and then they climbed the stairs to the apartment. Lizzie was talking about how hard it was to stand up all day, how it made her knees ache, how her shoes pinched her feet. She stopped talking long enough to say hello to Eveline Murdo, who was sitting by the window with Poppy on her lap, and then she began again as Lina led her into her bedroom.
"Lina, where were you when the big blackout came?"
she asked, but she went right on without waiting for an answer.
"I was at home, luckily, but it was scary, wasn't it?"
Lina nodded. She didn't want to talk about what had happened that day.
"Oh, I hate those blackouts," Lizzie went on. "People say there's going to be more and more of them and that someday."
She stopped, frowned, and started again.
"Anyway, nothing bad happened to me. After that, I got up and figured out a whole new way to do my hair."
It seemed to Lina that Lizzie was like a clock wound too tightly and running too fast. She'd always been a little this way, but today she was more so than ever. Her gaze skipped from one spot to another, her fingers twiddled with the edge of her shirt. She looked paler than usual, too. Her freckles stood out like little smudges of dirt on her nose.
"Lizzie,"
said Lina, beckoning toward the table in the corner of her room,
"I want to show you."
But Lizzie wasn't listening.
"You're so lucky to be a messenger, Lina," she said. "Isn't it fun? I wish I could have been one. I would have been so good at it. My job is so boring."
Lina turned and looked at her.
"Isn't there anything you like about it?"
Lizzie pursed her lips in a tiny smile and looked sideways at Lina.
"There's one thing,"
she said.
"What?"
"I can't tell you. It's a secret."
"Oh," said Lina. "Then you shouldn't have mentioned it at all," she thought.
"Maybe I'll tell you someday,"
said Lizzie.
"I don't know."
"Well, I like my job," Lina said. "But what I wanted to talk to you about was what I found yesterday. It's this."
She lifted the box away and took up the piece of paper,
covering the patched together document. Lizzie gave it a quick look.
Is it a message someone gave you that got torn up?
No, it was in our closet. Poppy was chewing on it, that's why it's torn up. But look at the writing on it. Isn't it strange?
Uh-huh,
said Lizzie. You know who has beautiful handwriting? Myla Bone, who works with me.
You should see it. It's got curly tails and the Y's and the G's and fancy loops on the capital letters. Of course, Flabface hates it. He says it's illegible.
Lina slid the piece of paper back over the pasted down scraps. She wondered why she had thought Lizzie would be interested in what she'd found. She'd always had fun with Lizzie, but their fun was usually with games. Hide and seek, tag, the kinds of games where you run and climb. Lizzie had never been much interested in anything that was written on paper. So Lina quietly put the document back in its place, and she sat down with Lizzie on the floor. She listened and listened until Lizzie's chatter ran down.
I better go, Lizzie said. It was fun to see you, Lina. I miss you.
She stood up. She fluffed her hair.
What was it you wanted to show me? Oh, yes, the fancy writing. Really nice. Lucky you to find it. Come and see me again soon, all right? I get so bored in that office.
Lina made beet soup for dinner that night, and Poppy spilled hers and made a red lake on the table. Granny stared into her bowl, stirring and stirring the soup with her spoon, but she didn't eat. She didn't feel quite right, she told Lina. After a while, she wandered off to bed. Lina cleaned up the kitchen quickly. As soon as her chores were out of the way, she could get back to studying her document. She washed Poppy's clothes. She sewed on the buttons that had come off her messenger jacket. She picked up the rags and sacks and boxes and bags that Granny had tossed out of the closet. And by the time she had done all this and put Poppy to bed, she still had almost half an hour to study the fragments of paper. She sat down at her desk and uncovered the document. With her elbows on either side of it and her chin resting in her hands, she pored over it. Though Lizzie and Captain Fleary had paid it no attention, Lina still thought this torn-up page must be important. Why else would it have been in such a cleverly fastened box? Maybe she should show it to the mayor, she thought reluctantly. She didn't like the mayor. She didn't trust him either. But if this document was important to the future of the city, he was the one who should know about it. Of course, she couldn't ask the mayor to come to her house. She pictured him puffing up the stairs, squeezing through the door, looking disapprovingly at the clutter in their house, recoiling from Poppy's sticky hands. No, it wouldn't do. But she didn't want to take her carefully patched together document to the gathering hall, either. It was just too fragile. The best thing to do, she decided, was to write the mayor a note. She settled down to do this.